cliffcentral.com.
Yes, the MKT show. Subscribe if you haven't already on Cliff Central Sport. And you can do that because he's got a brand new look and feel to the show, which they launched this week. You were a bit delayed with your launch. I was looking for it on Monday and it wasn't there.
We launched, had one or two technical issues, but we are now going, and it is fantastic.
Technical issues. So I didn't have to shoot the dove.
Oh, you didn't?
No, as soon as I opened the window, it flew away, and I was kind of pissed off because I already put a pellet in the gun.
Ah, they are a bunch of wimps, those doves, hey? Always, like the small dogs, you know, they'll bark, but then when the time to actually, there's no bite. Classic dove.
Yeah, they really are the rats of the air. Pigeons and doves are the most terrible animals. And I don't come at me with all your animal rights bullshit. You know that I've admitted right from the start in the show that I used to go shooting from age 12 with my dad. And we'd shoot duck, and we'd shoot, I've shot antelope. I don't shoot anything that can eat me, and I usually don't shoot things that are too big for me to eat, because those are just obeying the rules of nature, right? But I've got this pellet gun, which is always on standby here, because really the things I'm looking to kill are Indian miners. They are the most evil birds that have ever existed, and they're horrible to all the other birds. So if you don't like that, then just don't come near my house. But you're allowed to have as many of those kinds of birds as you like. You can have the Indian miners and the doves. I didn't have to shoot it, Leanne.
I missed that. Is it dead?
No, you'll be pleased to know it just flew away when I opened the window. So at least you hear, and there's no noise. Listen, listen, listen. There's no... Listen. It's gone. See? Can't have that. I mean, I have to do some recordings after the show this morning for one of our clients. I can't have noise, stupid dove. I do. I've told you about that neighbor of mine with the leaf blower, right?
Yes.
Oh. I don't know what.
That's annoying. Is he Mexican?
No, but obviously it's their gardener, and this guy is obsessed with the leaf blower. I mean, maybe the people who live there have told him you have to use the leaf blower for an hour every day, but he just loves it. Somewhere around 1-2 o'clock
in the
afternoon.
I don't understand leaf blowers.
This guy is so goddamn attached to this leaf blower. He loves this thing. He loves it like a child. I've never heard anyone use a leaf blower for that long, that many days a week. It's ridiculous.
We need leaf suckers, not blowers. Blowers just makes it someone else's problem.
So I think that this is one of those ones where you can switch it to blow or suck, which is interesting because there are people who do that too. And he loves it. But the sound of this, and then he sits on the button and goes, it's so goddamn irritating.
My dad bought me a secondhand weed eater off of some website, and it's so obnoxiously loud. I feel so embarrassed when it's being used.
Sure. Oh. Here's an interesting thing. Carl says that Joburg just experienced a 3.6 magnitude earthquake. Did anybody feel it? No?
No.
No.
No. Sorry.
What time?
How disappointing, Carl. Sorry. Carl says, big problem in KZN between the Indian miners and the black crows.
Very good. Very good. Very good, Carl.
Sun Marie wants to employ me to come and shoot doves at her house. Those red-eyed rats, they're the worst, she says.
Yeah. Oh, shame. They're made for life. You just can't.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Corona's Boring says, I'd be bankrupt in a social credit system. Yeah, that's the one thing we still haven't learned to be bankrupt about yet. But trust me, the Chinese will show us how. There's going to be a way that they measure you and you end up with zero.
No, but they're already doing it. You're saying it like it's coming.
I know that social score.
No, they're already in the mix. There's lots of Chinese people who are not allowed to travel.
So a quick story about that gun that I just showed you just now, which sits in my study the whole time. It's a pellet gun, so it uses those little lead pellets that you could buy at any any of the hardware stores, for example. But it used to belong to my uncle, my mom's brother, when he was a kid. So it's a proper, like, Windbooks. You know those ones that they have a break, and then you open it up, and then obviously it uses gas, it uses pressure. And it's still accurate, eh? After, what is it, like 50, oh, it must be 50, 60 years, maybe even longer. It still works.
Could you stop a burglar in his tracks with that?
No, this would be useless on humans. It would hurt them. If you shot them in the eye, you could probably do some damage. But I mean, how are you going to get that accurate? It doesn't have huge range on it either. So you can buy pretty hardcore pellet guns these days, though. You know, they get these gas-powered rifles, which are they're quite strong. You get these little ones with a cartridge, and they're like a handgun. And you put the cartridge in the handle under the grip, and then you could fire some pretty mean. You get those BB guns as well, those little ones with the blue pellets, those plastic ones. But I've used this pellet gun on Hardy-Dars and on doves and on Indian miners only. I don't shoot at other things. Oh, what do you mean?
That hurts my heart.
All three of those birds can get out of my garden. All of them. They must know that
you're in their garden.
There is death.
Don't you understand?
They must know if they come near me, death awaits them. Death is coming for them.
You've nailed it, because everything has a place in the ecosystem. If we stopped poisoning rats, right, and actually found a way to deal with that, because what it does is it kills the apex predator, the owl. So many owls are dying because the owls take care of everybody else. Hey, listen, we need Gareth with a pellet gun. Otherwise,
you need me. You don't know how much you need me, because there are not enough birds of prey to eat the doves and to kill the Hardy-Dars or to chase them away. Hardy-Dars are overrunning this country. They're a pain. They're everywhere, and they make that goddamn noise at the most inopportune moments. It's horrible. Nothing worse. Apparently, you can get into massive cuck for shooting a Hardy-Dar, according to Nico. Well, then let's just pretend you didn't hear that, all right? Well, come and get me.
No.
See someone come and arrest me for shooting a Hardy-Dar, really. Yeah, Gen X remembers that story of when I did. I shot a Hardy-Dar because I had a hangover, and I woke up in the morning and the thing was going on my roof. And so I got a slightly more powerful gun than this one. And
What apex birds do we have left in South Africa? Because we just poison everything in the world, you know?
No, there's still some eagles and hawks. And in fact, there was, I can't believe we're talking about this for so long, but there is some kind of, I think it's a long-legged buzzard or something. some buzzard. My brother would know. He's good at ornithology. That lives here near my house. That supposedly, I actually saw it. It flew directly in front of my house the one day because it was trying to catch a guinea fowl, and it was pretty wild to have that happen at your house. You know, a bird of prey doing its thing. It's lovely to see.
There's a beautiful hawk pair who live on a church grounds in Melville. And they've just never left. That's their home.
I love it.
It's so amazing to see.
I love it.
You know what? One of my prized days in life, I don't know if you know who Bill Oddie is.
No.
Like, if you in the ornithology game in the UK, he's like, he's the Rihanna of ornithology, right? And I once met him. This is the most fascinating, one of the most fascinating people I've ever met. When somebody goes on about their thing, and he's just like, he's that classic eccentric scientist. Yeah. And he's the king of ornithology, or was at least back then. And I'll never forget that day. It was awesome.
That's very
cool. I feel like I can beat you on that one. You know, Newman's Birds?
Yes.
No?
The bird book? Mm-hmm. I'm friends with his daughter.
That's cool. Wow. That's very cool.
And her and her family, she was actually a bit of a lot lummocky. And he died very early on in her life. But her and her sister have produced newer versions of the book, hand-drawing each of the birds.
Beautiful.
It's just amazing.
My brother collects bird books. There's another compulsive mad Cliff collection. We could do Collectomania in my family. We could fill up 7 years of episodes without ever leaving the family, but my brother is a serious bird watcher, and he and some of his friends, and even his wife, she's also into it. They'll actually go away for the weekend to try and see one particular bird, especially if it's flown into a certain area. It's bizarre, right? But I remember when we were kids, because he's kept the interest in birds. I didn't. I sort of lost it. I can still occasionally name something, you know, it's surprising what your brain retains, because I learned it at an age where obviously it really mattered to me. I was probably about 8, 9, 10, somewhere around there. So knowing the birds, maybe even a bit older, was a matter of pride for me. So I could still name most of the eagles, and I could still name most of the interesting birds, you know, the colorful ones, the curious ones, the shoebill, you know, those sorts of things. I can still talk about those with some authority. But my brother's still very into it. And when we were kids, we actually wrote to Kenneth Newman, who you're talking about, Leanne, who wrote Newman's Birds.
Yeah, yeah.
We, as kids, we wrote a letter to him to tell him that we were, you know, these amateur kids who like bird watching. And he sent us like a signed picture or something, which was so cool. You know,
that's amazing.
When you're a kid, that's like meeting Jack Nicholson. You know, it's like meeting Muhammad Ali, because you're so into this thing.
Yeah.
And then you get...
My friend's a very handy person to have about, and we travel together as well. And any bird that we see, we just consult her. Pam, what bird is that? Mm. Why is it doing that?
Hey, probably Pam and her friends. So a friend of mine who is, in terms of IQ, the smartest person I've ever met on this planet, right? But he's really into it. And I don't know if you know anyone in the community, but they're quite competitive. So like... kind of in the groups, they send each other, and you have to, I think there's an official database, I stand to be corrected, of who's seen the most, what you've seen. You take your book with you.
And so apparently you need to get like 800 to be considered a serious bird watcher. And then some people have their 900 list or whatever. And those are the people who are willing to look for all those little boring brown birds that the rest of us couldn't care less about. Those ones.
My mate. So this guy I'm telling you about, and for me, he once took me with, I mean, I'm taking the piss the whole time.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, it changed the dimension of our relationship. I want to get me the hell out of here. But it is an awesome thing. Yeah. And these are people that are doing something useful, like nature was here without us, by the way. I love these people, which is why I say save the owls, because they can eat the cats and they can eat all of the hardy dogs.
Cats. Let's do it. An owl that eats a cat. What? That's a significant owl. And that's a big animal.
No, but have you never seen them? Have you never seen owls? I'm sure you've seen the videos, Leanne, where those owls, you better keep that thing inside. Have you seen those owls that'll just...
Those eagle owls. And
they take toddlers.
No, not.
Oh, yeah, those things are... Save the owls.
Listen, if you want to be freaked out, I'm sure I've mentioned this on the show before, but if you want to be freaked out, go onto Google and look at an owl with its feathers off, if it's been plucked.
Have you seen how long their legs are?
It's scary as hell to see an owl without feathers. My God, they're freaky. Just have a look at that. That's all you need to do. Today, that is your job on the internet if you haven't done it. All right. Got to do some stuff.
There are other things on the internet that you can do to waste your time.
Exactly. This is what I was waiting for. Leanne has actually compiled a list of all the things you can do on the internet if you want to waste your time. Now, I don't know how anyone could still want to waste time after the year and a half that we've had, but there clearly are people who they sit in front of their laptops and like, I'm bored. Well, I'll go and look for something on the internet, and they don't know what to look for.
Yeah, these lists come up quite often, and this is an updated one. Gareth, you'll love this one. It's called Map Crunch.
Ooh, okay, what is it?
And it bops you around random Google Street View locations across the globe.
Yeah.
You just tap the green go button and you're transported to new locations. There's something called Window Swap, which is exactly what it sounds like. You get transported to a random view outside someone else's window. It's not live, so you're not being creepy. It's just kind of cool to see all the different lives and views that people have.
Yeah, but I don't want to just go randomly. I don't want to see some random street in Los Angeles. I'm interested in particular places. I'm not going to let Google decide where to take me. Right?
There's something called Scream Into the Void.
Okay.
And it's a really dumb outlet. You type in your frustrations and then you hear the scream, and the words that you type get sent into this void. So you could probably put in your boss's name or something like that.
Right.
Google Earth is still listed on there. I know that, Gareth, you were obsessed years ago.
I'm still obsessed.
Yeah.
Leanne remembers that I used to sit while we were doing the morning show and we play songs. And during the songs, I would be on Google Earth just zooming into places all over the world. I love aerial photography. I think it's one of the most exciting things. I love seeing, you know, like God's eye view of a property, a house, a building, a city, an installation of some kind. I mean, it's amazing what you could see from there. I just love it, and I've never got bored with it. I still have Google Earth on my desktop.
And it's also why drones are so much fun. Oh, yeah, another one you'll love is Histography. It pulls up these wiki pages for all sorts of historical events. You end up going down all these rabbit holes.
Oh,
yes. Looks pretty amazing.
So if you combine that one and Google Maps, you can actually visit ancient battlefields. Like you can go to the site of a certain huge victory by the Persians against the Greeks or whatever. You can actually go and look at how the map would have looked in those days, because sea levels have changed, and in some places the whole geography of the place has changed, but you could still see some of the descriptions in the surrounding hills, or there's a clump of trees that was there at this time and now there's just a pile of rocks. It's amazing what you can find.
There's already something on the way to that. My little nephew's maybe the biggest nerd I've ever met in my life, and I thank him for it. He's got every video game in the world, and there's a game called Prince of Persia. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I
went to his house and he kept nagging me to come check this out. I was, get the hell out of my face. But then I was like, he wore me down, right? And I put the VR goggles on, and in this game you can go inside the tomb and you could actually touch a certain part, and it was the tomb of someone famous, and you could walk somewhere else, and this is all part of the game and interactive, by the way, and you don't affect how he's doing in the game, and it's like an educational tool. And it would it comes to life as a 3D hologram, like this figure. I'm just using the pyramid as an example, but I imagine whenever you went to the other cities in this game, like it would teach you about
That's
wherever,
amazing.
You know. And I thought, this is incredible. That. It sounds a little bit like what Leanne's describing, which is awesome.
I think that sounds very cool. You see, now this is also why I don't get into gaming, because I'd never leave. I'd put on those VR goggles, and you would never need to take me to actually, to ancient Persia or ancient Egypt. I'd be perfectly happy to just stay in the virtual world. And I've told you before, my idea of heaven, if there is a heaven for me, because I think maybe people have different visions of what heaven might be in their own heads. For me, heaven would be a time machine, unlimited use of a time machine. For as long as I would like, in perpetuity. So if I wanted to go back in time and visit great historical events, if I wanted to visit places, watch how they've changed over time, there is this thing on Google Earth, to just be a super turbo nerd for a second. There's this feature on Google Earth where you can actually wind the clock back and see aerial photography from 5 to 10 years ago. So if you go and look at, maybe the house that you're living in wasn't built 20 years ago. You can actually see the empty property as it was before the house was built there, or before there was any development around there at all. That's fascinating to look at. Again, it's almost like you're going back in time. So in my head, that's where I want to be.
I've never been that selfish. You know, all I want is the ability to travel before something mildly inconvenient happens, like stubbing my toe on the couch. Every time that's happened, I'd like to travel back to that time
and
just move the couch a little bit, like that much. And then that's all I want.
It wasn't the couch's issue, it was yours. It was an ID 10T issue.
You're a man of reasonable, a man of reasonable tastes. What can we say?
Yep.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm too humble, people are saying.
So
people are saying I'm too humble.
So humble.
There's another site which I've actually used every now and then. It's called Flight Radar. And you can see every aircraft that's currently in the air. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's this is so banal, but how many times are we in a crowd of people and we go, oh, I wonder where that plane's going to?
Yeah.
I always just say the airport, because that's the correct answer. but if you look at Flight Radar, you can tell where it's going to or where it's come from.
There's also a shipping app. If you live in KZN or in the Cape, and there are a lot of ships coming into dock in the harbor, you can actually see on this app what ship it is and what their cargo is, where they come from, where they're heading after they've docked and dropped off their shipment. It's amazing. You can find an app for which plane flies over you, which ship is going into harbor. It's phenomenal. You don't have to be, in the maritime world. You can just have this app on your phone. Mm. And it's quite incredible to see.
It's awesome. Then there's one called McMansion Hell. And that's a writer named Kate Wagner who critiques all these strange and poorly designed homes. When people have built windows where they shouldn't be and
I could get into
or no
that.
Doors. Yeah, that's quite cool. But yes, that's my
that's your list. Well, you've given me plenty to do. I don't think any of that's a waste of time. I think all of that stuff is what I would do in my productive time. I love it. Hey, you know what? We haven't said hello to Carl for a while.
Come here, Carl. Oh.
Carl. Oh, my God. Carl's the type of dog that...
There he is.
He's so regal.
Say hello, Carl.
I gotta love him.
Good boy.
Oh, hi, Carl.
He's such a good
poor old guy.
He sits
How
here...
old is he now?
He's 10. He sits here and snores the whole way through the show. He's totally disinterested in what we do. Totally.
Hey, oh, he's lovely.
Good boy.
I was reading up. There's the TikTok account I follow who's a veterinarian, and he goes through all the dog breeds and why they're so bad. And Carl's breed came up. And it has to do with the fact that they've been designed by humans to have a bigger brain than what can fit into their skulls.
Yeah.
And that's why their eyes appear like they are.
Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
And they're likely to have cardiac issues.
Yes.
And I thought of Carl.
Yeah, you have to have them checked. Like, I've got to say, touch wood, during his 10 years so far that he's been with me, he's had no serious health problems. And they are finely bred dogs. I mean, they are absolutely unbelievably cool animals. But if you get one with health problems, you are just in shit street. And mostly the breeders, that the really responsible breeders you get, they really are very careful. They buy in champions from all over the world who are in excellent health, and then they partner them with other dogs who are in excellent health so that they can make sure that the puppies are, 99% safe from these things. But, it's like anything. It's like you also – this is why you've got to be careful as a human who you breed with. I mean, really, it's like, it sounds so obvious.
Take a bit of responsibility.
It sounds so obvious. I look at some people, I look at the father and I look at the mother and I go, how did you think you were going to have a nice child? Look at the
but
two.
But you know what? It's usually the ugly parents who breed well.
I'm not even talking about
Patiso
ugly. I'm not even talking about
Patiso
ugly.
Patiso has an interesting comment for you.
Yes. Patiso says, I can't believe I remember the show that Gareth got Carl. This is one of the longest one-sided relationships I've ever had. Yeah, it's 10 years ago. But to go back to this for a second, it's not about ugly or any of the characteristics that you can do something about, like, being overweight or not necessarily being in the best shape or having, crooked teeth or any of that stuff, because you can fix those things. What I'm talking about is, like, if you have serious genetic problems and you are a very unhealthy person at a genetic level, and then you decide to pair up with another person who's like that and produce a child who's already going to be at a disadvantage because of that, it just seems to me like you haven't really calculated the risk and return ratio on this for your child. It seems to me like that's a big problem. Some people just, they don't think about it. They're like, we're going to have a child.
Why wouldn't you, in this day and age, ask your partner to go and have their human genome tested? Like, for me, if we're going to have a child, we're both doing that way before. First of all, I need to meet your mom and dad to see what I'm dealing with, because we need to see where we're going, number one, if I were to ever even think of marrying you.
Yeah.
But the second one, it's 2021. Get your human genome. What is in your family history? We can do that now. It's a simple test.
We can, absolutely.
So as a belief, man, we don't need more people like me. Imagine another me now in 25 years because you thought, let me be romantic and I love so-and-so. You know what I'm saying, Leanne? We don't need another me. One's enough. And we can prevent.
Feel the same about myself. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's an interesting here's an interesting comment, and we mentioned this briefly earlier, but Donna's saying, did anyone feel the 3.5 earth tremor in Joburg? And lovely Lady Lee says she felt it. That's pretty cool. I didn't feel a damn thing, but then I'm not really in Joburg, so. Yeah.
So apparently it was more sort of Springs Roodepoort side, but didn't feel it.
No, maybe it's not a tremor. Maybe it's just all the mana out there started all their hiluxes at the same time.
That's possible. Yeah, that's very possible. So here's an interesting point. Annette says, a friend who married a loser and her son is a total loser too. Don't procreate with stupid people.
God, yeah. Annette.
Annette is hardcore. She's right there. Jesus.
I mean, she's right.
I never met my wife's real mother and her father, and her father died, so I couldn't check out the genes. Yeah, you got to be super careful, hey?
Well, you can do the genome. I mean, you can do the genome in terms of hardcore genes.
But it's not going to tell you what they're going to, you know, whether the kids will be tall or short or, you know, all that kind of thing. That's not going to, they don't give you the breakdown like that. We're not at that stage yet. And Woody says, oh, no, well, for God's sake, no. We can't have another Mbulelo. One is more than enough to deal with. I agree.
Couldn't agree more. Don't be extremely parsimonious with your personal life and who you mate with. Simple as that. And we don't need another me. By the way, we'll see if we can get the people from CRISP on the show now that we're talking about this. I'll reach out to them. Yeah. I do know somebody who works there. So they'll let us know exactly what we can and can't do in terms of gene manipulation. They've done some incredible work.
Which of you, thanks, Morlillo, for the turbo nerd stuff. Which of you two said Springs and Roodepoort?
It was me. Laughing at it now. Sorry. Yeah, Springs and Roodepoort. I meant to say Florida and Roodepoort. Yeah, I don't know where Springs came from.
Ryan says, is it Springs or Roodepoort? Because they're actually very far apart. Like people who are from those places, like the eyes of people who are from Springs or Roodepoort. Very far apart.
I was going to say, actually, easy mistake.
After all of that, it was in the south. Apparently,
in the south. Yeah. You should know the south, man, Leanne.
Easy mistake.
Alberton, eh?
Listen, I hope we're not going to cancel Lizita Land because of this. Now, like, we hardcore in the south, bro. I'm not canceling Lizita Land with Jose and Miguel and the boys. No way. It's not for an earthquake.
I remember being at Lizita Land when I lived in the south.
We've come full circle. We started talking about Portugal, and now we're back there again.
Yeah. Mm? I was busy drinking caparenhas in the sun. We had a huge bucket of it. And this person dressed in a gorilla suit jumped. We were sitting at these benches outside, and this person dressed in a gorilla suit jumped over a fence and came and scared us. And I got such a fright, I screamed blue murder. And you know, sometimes when you give a person a fright, there's that fight or flight response. And with a friend of mine who was quite a roller, his response was to flick some of this guy. He got up and chased him and pummeled him. And brought him to the ground. He was so angry.
There's something very funny about
and the gorilla just got up and walked and limped away. And, you know, that's what happens there.
Oh, I feel sorry for the guy in the gorilla suit because he was just trying to have some fun. God blicks him. Yeah. You never know when you get blixed. I just love the way that lovely Lady Lee spells the south. S-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-T-H. The south. So great. Ricky Pastana says, I'm representing Roodepoort. Zero shakes here, hey? All right, thanks. Thanks for that. That's great. Good to know. Lee says, my boyfriend's friends had their new son, or now son, genetically engineered as an embryo in Thailand. I don't know how true that is. Well, there's certain stuff you can do, but a lot of it is still up to nature. So you may end up with, like a broken egg
You can go really, really far with your genetic testing, and you can choose the sex of your baby, for instance. Mm. But the further and further you go, the more it costs. Yeah, just it's a money issue.
I will have a child when they deliver a software package to your house, and you can manipulate the different genes to create some kind of wunderkind, and then I will make sure that that kid, you know, you could choose like how he or she will look at age 10 or whatever, and then at age 20, and you can actually change the little sliding scales, then I'll be happy to do it. And I was thinking about this yesterday. I was thinking, like, I reckon the best thing for me to do, because I've been toying with this idea of, like, you know, friends ask you at the age I'm at, like, are you ever going to have kids? And I thought about it, and I thought, not right now, but being a guy, you can have kids whenever. So what I'll do is, when I'm 60, I'll get married to a 30-year-old, and then she can bear the child, and I'll still be, they'll get a good 20 years out of me, and then they can have my money. You know, the kid will go, yeah, I remember my dad. I
mean, he was around. Would have had a baby at 81.
Yeah, he was around for like 20 years, my dad, and then he was too old and he started drooling and we sent him to a home. But he was a great dad for 20 years. That's what I want.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Yeah, I think that's a good strategy. Years.
And then lots of money. I'll make sure I leave them lots and lots of money. So that'll be the way to do it. And I want to be a good.
Gotta go to someone.
I want to be a healthy 60. So I'm going to make sure that I'm in good physical shape. I'm going to make sure that I'm in the best possible condition, so that I'm not one of those sad 60-year-olds who, on my wedding night to my 30-year-old wife, I can't like perform. I'm going to make sure I'm really on top of things there, and I'm good to go. You know?
Yeah, you'd better be, because she deserves it. I was just thinking,
does any poor 30-year-old girl ever deserve a 60-year-old man? That's so unfortunate for her.
No, she deserves a functioning one if she's going to put up with a 60-year-old man.
Yeah,
sure, I've had one that was dysfunctional, and that's terrible.
Yeah, let me just say.
That is terrible, but
let me just say, I intend to be a functional and excellent 60-year-old, but I still feel sorry for women who do that. And I'll make sure there's lots of money, babe. I'll make sure you've got so much money.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. Just hang in there for the shopping trips. That's all.
I like
Plus,
it.
Pfizer are making it really easy. You can have you can have both now. You can have the pill for COVID, or the whatever version of COVID. I don't know. Like, iPhone has 12X or whatever. And then you can also get the one for the performance time, you know, for the 30-year-old. So shout out to Pfizer and making 60-year-olds' lives easier out there.
Right. But by that stage, we'll be on the variant in the Russian alphabet. We'll be at the end of the Russian alphabet in variants for COVID. And they'll still be making Viagra. So I'll be good. I mean, listen, bring it on. Pfizer will have so much money by then, they'll have perfected an even better version of Viagra too. So I'm very excited about the future. I'm all in. That's all I could say. I'm balls deep into the future.
In my family, no one's bred except for one person. and that's Tara. And you know, my cousin is a surgeon.
Of course.
The right type of person to breed.
Yes.
And this little kid of theirs, Jack, who's just adorable. Uh-huh. My brother's already set aside a time in his future to teach him Excel, because he's going to inherit all these estates. Yes, he's not going to know what to do with them.
That's fantastic. I mean,
there's nowhere for our money to go.
So it's all going to go to Jack. That's terrific. All right. Let's talk to somebody who I haven't spoken to in, it feels like a very long time, although he and I talk occasionally on WhatsApp, and he's just spent a nice bit of time in the Kruger Park because it's just on his doorstep. Hey, Phil. Here's Phil Kutzer from DeWitt Motors. Hey, Phil. How's it going? Phil, can you hear us?
Morning, hey. Everyone. How's it? Leanne, I'm Bella.
Nice to see you, man.
We can hear Bill.
Now, Phil, not Bill, you idiot. Leanne. Jesus. He just called you Leanne, and you go, oh, sure, no problem, Bill. So how's it, Phil? What's happening, man?
No, all good, thank you. Yeah, on your side?
Yeah, lekker. I saw temperatures in Ermelo the other day and thought of you. You guys have had it pretty freezing cold there, and you know, you think in Mpumalanga you think it's warm, but it gets fucking cold there.
Yeah, sure. It's we're not ready for us to go for a swim yet. I think if I see my computer, it's about
3 degrees.
Yeah. I think we'll probably warm up in the next couple of minutes or
oh
so.
Oh my god,
early morning stuff, yeah.
So how was the Kruger Park last weekend? Because you were meant to talk to us on Friday last week, and you were in there, which I was very jealous of.
Yeah, no, all good, thanks. Yeah, no, that was a bit of weather, and I was there for for a day or two, and then Swaziland and so on. Yes.
Nice. And you didn't have all those. You had less of the annoying people from Gauteng because we weren't allowed to travel. So, you know, there were probably less Gauteng people in the park than usual.
Very difficult for you.
Yeah. All right. So, Phil, a couple of things I wanted to just touch on because we haven't spoken to you in a while. I'm coming to a little advanced dynamic driving course with you guys in a couple of weeks' time, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, almost in 2 weeks' time.
That's right. And what are we going to be doing there? That sounds really cool.
Yes. Well, it's so it's I think I've talked about Cups Raceway, which is there at spot close to golf course, actually, Mercedes-Benz Head Office. So I don't want to give everything away. It's 50% of the day, or the first part of the morning. I mean, you'll spend some time on the skid pan. And then the afternoon you will be driving on the racetrack, and obviously everything will be in AMGs.
Very nice.
I'm going to drive anything slow.
That sounds amazing, and it's all going to be in Mercs, right? Merc AMGs.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Superb.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Jeez, that's cool. Yeah, okay, I've done the skid pan once with George of all people, who's going to be joining us just now.
Oh, yes.
He actually we went together to learn how to, what do they call it, drift.
Oh, that's right. Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had an amazing time, and I just about got it right, but George was like a pro. He took to it like a duck to water, and he was really, really good straight off the bat. I was just so worried I was going to like roll the cars, but these it's amazing to me. Like tracks like Swartkop exist all over the country, and it's an amazing condition, and you can go there and you can drive your car around there, right? I mean, these places are available, and you can make a booking, and you can go and test your car on the track.
And they've got quite a few open days. You can bring things.
It's amazing.
You're welcome to drive your car. It's not awesome, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. So let me just understand quickly. What am I going to need to bring to this besides the nerves of steel that I'm going to need to be able to drive around a racetrack? Am I going to need anything else?
No, I think everything has been catered for. I mean, I think wear comfortable shoes, some jeans, and so on. So it's everything is there.
Yeah.
The reason why we postponed was
lockdown,
because of this last lockdown. So. I think it still would have been possible, but then I think with way more stricter rules. So I thought, let's just move it on and make it a little bit more fun, you know?
Sounds good.
More vehicles, more opportunities to drive, you know, different engines, different models, bigger cars, smaller cars, and so forth.
That sounds awesome.
Yes, yeah.
All right. So Leanne is obviously an old hand at this. You have to learn to do that stuff. Skid pan and stuff is what you guys do in the South. That's how you learn to drive, right, Leanne?
I mean, yeah, it came. I got that license immediately when I got my Chico. You know, just automatic. It immediately got fitted with a double exhaust pipe for no reason, and that's how we rolled.
Phil, how
and Bill, please feel free to call me PM at any point.
I've got a trunk now in my pocket sometime, yes.
So, Phil, just tell us quickly, how is the market at the moment? Because with all these lockdowns and things, there's got to be a lot of crazy stuff going on. There must be huge demand in some areas, and in other areas there's a supply issue. I mean, just tell me what's going on, like from the dealership point of view.
Yes, well, I think it differs from manufacturer to manufacturer. But I mean, at the moment we are facing some challenges. I mean, it's almost like this perfect storm in Mercedes world at the moment. I mean, we've got the shortage. I mean, this is an international thing with all automotive manufacturers, with the shortage of the semiconductors that we spoke about.
Now this is
that goes in your computers, your iPads, and so forth.
Right, because cars are so electronic now that you it's not really about building a mechanical thing. It's about an electronic thing that you're busy putting together. And if you don't have enough semiconductor supply, then people can't manufacture the cars, full stop, right?
Yeah. So, well, it started off with semiconductors, and we had the unrest, which also had an effect on the harbors. So they, some of the harbors they can't dock. And then we had two ships now where, I mean, you know, those big carrier ships with which carry the cars and container ships. I mean, they're quite, the crew, the amount of crew is very little on those ships. It's almost like between 5 or 10 people. I mean, there's nothing else. We just need to drive the ship. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the ships, I mean, everybody's got COVID on the ship, which is a massive problem now because they can't, offload the vehicles in, I think it is London. They need to desanitize every vehicle, and this is all delays and delays and delays. So,
my God,
absolutely perfect storm. And I mean, I think it's only temporary and will pass. And I think by September we'll be back on track, hopefully.
Just tell me quickly that you haven't had any decline in the amount of interest in the market. Like, there's still lots and lots of, there's huge demand, right? Because people haven't stopped buying cars just because of lockdown or coronavirus, any of that stuff. That's what you were telling us last time we spoke to you.
Yeah, if this is the case with all dealers, but your top end vehicles, there will always be a market for them. Richer people will get richer, and we'll still continue to sell those. I mean, you can look at the figures for, if you go to NAMSA, which is the which will give you the statistics of all vehicles sold in South Africa, and you'll see that the top end vehicles like your Porsche and Lamborghini and Bentleys and so, I mean, they didn't drop; they stayed the same. Small volumes, actually consistent from the last 2 years. So. Nothing happened there.
Yeah. You say you're still selling some G-Wagons?
Yeah, if you obviously is a problem. Got some friends in other brands as well, like Toyota and VW and so forth. And I mean, it's a little bit all over.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's good to check in with you, and we will see you at the Dynamic Driving. I'll obviously take along I'm looking forward to that. I'll take lots of pictures, and we'll let everybody in on what we get up to there. But thanks again, Phil.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see you again. Yeah.
We'll
awesome, guys. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, we'll chat to you soon. Cheers, man. There we go.
Cheers,
Phil. Phil Kutzer, not Bill Leanne, from DeWitt Motors. Such an idiot. And then people are calling you 3M. Moron.
Oh, I'm dying. I wanted to burst out laughing about 50 times during the interview.
Because you're an idiot.
Absolutely.
The Savage Jared says, Gareth, for fuck's sake, I'm finally awake early enough to say hi. Well done, Jared. Sure. Took you a while. Congratulations.
Shout out.
Very good.
Hi, Barrett.
If there aren't any semiconductors, can't they just cut the whole conductors in half?
Good point.
Nice.
Good point.
All right,
nice.
Carl, very good. And Jared says he's struggling to buy a car for 29,000 Rand. Well, just go on to Auto Trader. I'm sure that George will be able to help you. But I mean,
You find a nice chico.
Can you even buy a car for 29 grand? Let's ask George. Let's find out.
Yeah.
Let's find out from George. Hey, George, what's happening?
Hey, Gareth. How's it? Good and you?
Good, good, good. I don't know if you saw
Borge.
Love it, Leo. Love it. You greet me with such passion every Friday morning.
So, Borge. That's the most ridiculous name I've ever heard. So, George, tell us just quickly, because you probably got the internet open in front of you and you can hop straight onto Auto Trader there. Like, what's the cheapest car you actually have got on there at the moment?
There's a Mercedes-Benz C-Class 250 Classic 1995 model on for 18,900 Rand. Looks a bit worn for wear. but yes, you can get cars as low as that.
I love it. Okay, now we're talking value. Value for money. It's a bit of a fixer-upper, but you know, go for it.
here's a Leanne car, a 1996 Opel Corsa,
yes.
21,900 Rand.
That's and,
it is a, it's cyan. I think the color is blue.
Oh, yeah.
With black mag wheels.
Perfect, Leanne.
Ooh, hot.
Isn't that
exciting? Yeah.
Must
goosebumps. Got a boozle for that car.
Ryan says, look at this. Barath, Borge, and Bulalayo.
Love it. Triple B.
Borge. All right. So this is obviously a great way to start our Friday. We're going to be useless by lunchtime. All right. What's happening, George? What's been going on?
There is an old saying by a gentleman, 16th century English chronicler, as he likes to be known, yes. Raphael Holinshed is his name. And he wrote that consumed moderately, whiskey's many medicinal benefits include preventing the head from whirling, the tongue from lisping, and the hands from shivering, and the bones from aching.
That sounds like a lot of things that whiskey's been given credit for, a lot.
Well, there's one more thing that whiskey's been given credit for, and that is, the single malt Glenfiddich?
Yes, of course.
Now, they have a fleet of about 20 trucks that ferry the, their goods, their whiskeys and stuff between plants in manufacture. And they've decided to use the waste product, a biogas, that comes off the waste products that they make the whiskeys out of to fuel their trucks.
Wow, are we wa?
So is it biofuel or is it just alcohol?
No, it's biofuel. So it's the waste products that come off the manufacture of the whiskies. Apparently, before now, it got sold to cattle farmers for high protein cattle feed.
Okay.
And it's traditionally the stuff that's left over after the malting process. So now they're using it in their team.
I know you were kind of looking askance at me now when I said, "Is it alcohol or is it biofuel?" But you do get cars that can run on alcohol.
Yes. No, I agree. You just got to modify the car in different ways to use different fuels.
Right.
This method cuts CO2 emissions by 95%.
George, you and Bulelo and I run on biofuel, but Leanne runs on alcohol.
Exactly. Fully functional. You can get a little trot out of me every now and then. You know, not bad.
Isn't there an actual term? I'm going to Google it. It's called a functioning alcoholic.
Yes.
Yes, there is. And underneath it says Leanne.
It's got this picture. That's the picture.
So a functioning alcoholic, here's the actual term, Leanne. A functioning alcoholic often consumes as much alcohol as someone with an alcohol use disorder. However, they will not exhibit outward symptoms of intoxication. This is because they have developed a tolerance for alcohol to the point that it takes more for them to feel the effect.
I'm just drunk inside, not outside. Yeah. Borge, did you hear? I saw the story yesterday and I was hoping that you'd bring it up. Maybe you still will. But a guy in his Tesla who had the auto driving function on and was behind the wheel like a good Tesla driver should be, was on a street all by himself, and the street was wide and there were no cars. But the car kept on slowing down for no reason. It would slow down and then speed off and slow down and speed off. He eventually figured out that the Tesla was mistaking the moon for an amber light.
Oh, wow. That's pretty screwy.
And he's tweeted Elon Musk saying, "Dude, you need to do something about the moon."
Wow. Okay.
Well, to put you in the picture in terms of what Tesla uses versus other self-driving cars like Google's self-driving program. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between LiDAR and cameras. So Tesla pioneered the use of cameras, saying that they believe that vision is the future of self-driving and not LiDAR. Now, what LiDAR does is it sends frequencies out that map out the world around you, whereas cameras are image recognition. So it wouldn't surprise me if the moon gets mistaken for an amber light, especially if it's like that reddish moon. Elon needs to do something about that, I'm afraid.
I was talking to somebody about Elon and the infrastructure they've built for Tesla all over the United States. And, you've got Tesla charging stations in almost every truck stop and garage in the US now. They've just quietly been putting them in everywhere. The difference between their charging stations and all the other electric cars is huge, though. You can't just plug your electric Mercedes into a Tesla charging station. They're not compatible. So what's going to happen is that, you know, governments are obviously going to try and standardize that, but they're not going to. They're not going to get it right because there's a patent on these things. So what's been very clever is that, quite apart from the fact that they developed nice cars, Tesla's also put infrastructure in place, which is going to allow them to operate within their own ecosystem in any case. So if you're American, it doesn't make sense to get a different kind of electric car. You're going to have to get a Tesla because it's just going to be the most convenient one.
Well, Gareth, I was going to end with that story, so I'll seeing as you brought it up, a different story. You didn't steal the thunder at all.
Okay,
as a matter of fact, 2 days ago, Elon Musk announced that they would be opening the Tesla charging network to cars other than Tesla.
Huh. Okay. Well, that kind of puts paid to what I just said.
Well, no, you were right up to now because they were creating what in Apple terms is referred to as a walled garden, you know, where you can only use products of Tesla with Tesla's plugs, charging systems, etc. You couldn't use any other charging systems, and you couldn't put other cars onto Tesla's charging system. But that's all going to change, and I think it's a genius move and something that they probably have planned. I don't think it's by accident, because if you understand the power of platforms and network effects, you'll understand that it's not about the hardware of the charging system, because you have to download Tesla's app in order to charge your car, even if it's not a Tesla. Where is Tesla keeping you? Inside their ecosystem. So they might say that they're not creating a walled garden, but they actually are.
Listen, it's very clever. It's certainly a way to keep your market share riding high. And he's built, in the last couple of years, the most valuable car company in the world. And who knew he would ever be able to leapfrog over brands that we've known and loved for almost 100 years. It's incredible what's happening. You know, and don't ever believe that you can't be a disruptor. I mean, this guy was born here in Pretoria, for God's sake, and look at him now. He's changed transport forever, not just on Earth, but also in space. It's phenomenal. Good for him. I'm just so inspired.
He's a bit of an awkward fella.
He's a very weird human being. I don't think he's easy to get to know. I don't think he's normal. I don't think he's completely sane. But I think that's part of the reason we love him. And you know, genius and lunatic live on the same street, right? They really do.
Yeah.
All right.
He referred to his own, I wanted to say autopsy, but it's not that. Autism.
Yes.
He referred to his own autism on the Saturday Night Live show just recently. And how socially awkward he is. And I find that admirable, that he's fully aware of it. You know, he's not unaware of it.
I love this point from Corona's Boring, says, electric cars create so much smug, I find them noxious. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, very good point. Captain S says, hydrogen has to be the way forward, surely. Yes, we've talked about that before a couple of times.
I don't know so much, Gareth. Can we kind of like spend 30 seconds on hydrogen? The problem with hydrogen is getting them to the car, getting the hydrogen to the car. So, you know, with fuel stations, you've got to have these big tanks that you can fuel in.
Hydrogen is very dangerous.
So yes, hydrogen cars might be, you know, good, and they might be, you know, maybe even cheaper to run. But how do you get the hydrogen to the car? That is a problem. You've got electricity lines everywhere. You've got fuel filling stations everywhere. You don't have hydrogen ports everywhere, and that's the trouble. It's not the car itself. It's the delivery mechanism of the hydrogen.
Well, I'm thinking that ultimately that problem will be solved when we figure out how to break the water into hydrogen and oxygen and use the hydrogen in the engine. In other words, the engine needs to be built to take water in, to create a reaction where it separates hydrogen and oxygen inside of some chamber, and then takes that hydrogen and then burns it, which creates the explosive power, which creates the energy that you need to propel the car forward. But we're a way off of that.
Well, isn't that what Elon Musk plans to do, to create fuel on Mars in order to come back?
No, let him do it here first. I say start here, Elon. Nutcase. Anyway, what else you got for us, Borge?
So 3N, we've got serious problems when it comes to people and their exhausts. Have you ever woken up early hours of Sunday morning and somebody is revving their car that has a double exhaust fitted and you can't get back to sleep? Have you had those troubles before?
And backfiring as well.
Hey, listen.
So, George, Mbolele.
Sorry, people like that should have to. They should only be allowed to live in certain places. Like some of us don't want to. I live in a complex where you're not allowed pets and kids. Is those types of people? You shouldn't be allowed to live on my street. We want to walk and talk about organic mangoes. We don't need you showing how small your reproductive organ in your pants is, pal. Like, go live somewhere else.
There's nothing. Listen, a friend of mine said she's never ever said to herself after hearing a car revving or backfiring or going, she's never thought, oh, that's so sexy. I really want to sleep with him ever. In her life. Exactly. I don't think there's any woman who ever
There's a trend on TikTok at the moment where people are putting deflated balloons onto their exhaust pipes and cutting a hole at the end.
Yeah.
And it's just the funniest sound. Like love it.
I'm gonna be looking that up just
so. The point of my question is that in the United States, in California, no doubt, this isn't in, for Sia's benefit, this isn't in Florida. In California, a BMW owner lost a lawsuit against his neighbors. He was sued by his neighbors for peace and quiet. So this guy had a loud exhaust and the neighbors just had enough of it. So they took him to court for $10,000 and he lost the case. He didn't have to pay $10,000. He ended up paying something like $6,000 in damages. But he was tweeting all over the place saying, oh, my neighbors have taken me to court. How silly, laughing my ass off. I'm screaming, cars disrupting the neighborhood. And he actually lost.
Good.
I'm going to do it. There's a monster in my street who has I won't say the German make, but there's that monster. His doppelganger lives in my street. Thank you to that person. Inspiration. I'm going to do it. We don't need you, pal.
CBA is just reminding us what we call those people. Vrpas. Right, that's it. That's spot on.
And then very finally, Gareth, the Ethekwini municipality doesn't seem to have replied to Toyota yet. Everybody's eagerly awaiting the reply. There's been a lot of writing about this.
This is the one that was run by Zandile Gumede for the longest time. I mean, it's just so bankrupt and rotten. I'm surprised there's anything fresh going on in the heads of anyone in that municipality. They should all be sent off to a lunatic asylum, the whole lot of them.
Well, I think, please, Toyota, do not leave South Africa. Continue manufacturing cars here. I mean, the Toyota Corolla Quest, it might sound like an Uber car, but it's probably one of the best cars on the road today. Can't afford to lose our manufacturing in South Africa.
My brother had to send his car in for repairs, and he's been driving a Toyota Corolla, one of those Uber ones, the Uber Corolla, right?
Yeah.
He's been driving it for the longest time. So I went past his house the other day and I was like, that person is there every day. I wonder who that is. It's like my sister-in-law's having an affair with some boring dude in a Toyota Corolla. With my brother the whole time.
Maybe he became an Uber driver.
Guys, listen. We had an earthquake in Johannesburg this morning, so people are talking about what's next. There was a 3.6 3.6 light magnitude earthquake near Johannesburg this morning. So I'm just thinking, like, 2021 has already been an insane year, right? How much more could go wrong? We thought 2020 was bad. I'm thinking we've got two things left for August. It's either the mass coronal ejection, which is something the sun does, or it's a giant sea monster. I mean, which one are you guys going for? That's pretty much it.
Oh, either way, we'll probably just brush it off and carry on. Hey?
Yeah. So get ready, everybody.
As I live in Joburg.
Giant sea monsters, probably what I'm in. Yeah, I don't mind watching that happen. Let it be somewhere where, you know, where there are not too many people living. A giant sea monster along some coastline where there's not anybody there. Namibia is probably
not good KZN. Place. They've had their time.
No. KZN needs a break. All right. So good luck for the giant sea monster and for August, which starts next week. Very exciting. Have an awesome weekend, everybody. Thank you very much to Bulelo and Borge and to B. Ann. And we will see you
and Barath.
And we will be back on Monday at 6 o'clock, bright and early. Have an excellent weekend. Cheers.
Bye. Good.
Bye-bye. Nice. Bye-bye. Cheers, everybody. Lovely. Fantastic.
CliffCentral.com